John chapter number 11, please. John chapter number 11. Appreciate the opportunity to stand and preach. John chapter number 11, if you will stand with me as I read the word of God when you have your place. John chapter number 11, begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Verse number 7. Then after that he said unto his disciples, "Let us go again into Judea." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to stand in your pulpit one more time. God, I confess, dear Lord, as I have before, God, that I can do nothing without your touch. God, without your help, God, thank you for the sweet spirit, God, that we've already felt in this place, God, the singing the songs. God, oh, what a Savior is mine. Lord, thank you tonight, God, that you are my God, and I love you tonight. Thank you for always, always making a way, God, when we can't see a way. God, I pray to the Lord for a few minutes, God, you'd help me as God, as I try to preach. God, may you just touch me tonight. God, give me the words. God, I pray I'd be your messenger, God, and your mouthpiece. God, use for this time. God, help me to say, God, exactly what you'd have me to say, nothing more. God, nothing less. God, I pray everything that's said and done, God, tonight would bring you honor, God, and bring you glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. We all know the story of Lazarus and how Lazarus has died. And for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on the thought, a miracle in the making, a miracle in the making. I believe, first of all, I'll go ahead and get right into my message. I want to look back at verse number 2. And first of all, we see in this passage of Scripture, there was a problem. Verse number 2, it said, "And it was Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Let's skip over to verse number 14. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." First of all, we see there was a problem in this passage of Scripture. And their problem was that Lazarus, their own brother, the one that Jesus himself loved, has now died. And I believe it's a safe assumption to say, you might have come in here tonight, you might have put a smile on your face, you may have the one beside you convinced that everything's okay. But I believe it's a safe thing to say that we all face problems and that we all face different trials through this life. And I don't know what your problem is, you don't know what my problem is, but it's a safe thing to say that we all have problems with. Let me ask you this question by way of introduction. What's that problem that you have in your life tonight? What's that thing that you're going through every day? What's the thing that you woke up with this morning and it was on your mind? You went to bed last night and it was on your mind. What's that problem that you have in your life? And we see here in this passage that they had a serious problem. Their own brother had died. But I want us to get at verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place." Not only do you see there was a problem, but I want to look at the procrastination. Verse number 6, that the procrastination, we know that they had sent their two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they had told that their own brother had died and he was sick and he was now dead, and that was their problem. But also we see that Jesus procrastinated. We know if you continue reading that Jesus stayed for 4 days. He was 4 days late. We all know the song. But I begin looking into that and I wonder why did Jesus wait 4 days? Why didn't he just come the first day? Why didn't he just come the second day or the third day? But I was reading and it was said that the Jews believed that the soul stayed near the body for at least 3 days. And they believed that the body had enough power in itself to resurrect its own self after 3 days. And I begin looking at that and I see that this had to be no doubt the exact reason that God came on the fourth day was to bring all honor and glory to God. There was no other way when Lazarus resurrected that it could have been given to any man. The credit couldn't have been given to any other person but God alone. You may be wondering in your life why God hasn't came to solve your problem. You may think, God, I know I'm doing the right thing. God, I'm going to church. God, I'm tithing. I'm witnessing to people. Why aren't you helping me with my problem? But let me say this. It may be because God is procrastinating to give all the honor and the glory to him tonight. If he came right now, you may say that I did that, or you may say that that you solve that own problem for yourself, but God's waiting to give all the honor and the glory to himself. But also we've seen all the problem in the procrastination. But let's continue reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he after that he had said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he doth do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of the taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly Lazarus is dead. Verse number 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to intend you that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Not only do you see the problem in the procrastination, but also we see the pursuit. Jesus went out of his way to go to Lazarus, and he wasn't just passing by and just say, well, I'll heal this man while I'm here. No, Jesus went out of his way to, and that word pursuit means to strive for, to go after. And I don't know about y'all tonight, but I'm glad for the day that Jesus decided to strive after and to go after me. When I was alone in my sin, when I had no business for God, I wasn't looking for God, no, but he came out of his way to go after me, and he came out of his way to go after you. You weren't in that place of your life where you said, God, I'm looking for you now. God, I'm taking that step towards you. No, but he came to where you were, and he came to where I was, and he decided to consider them when they were nothing, when they didn't deserve him. None of us deserve God to come after us, but I'm glad that he pursued after us, and I'm glad that he came to us in our lowest state. The Bible says that he bends his ear low to those that are in need. When you don't deserve God to hear your voice, I'm glad that he is in pursuit to come after you tonight, just as he was in this passage of scripture. But also we see in verse number 20, we'll continue reading verse number 16, the Bible says, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Also, not only do you see the pursuit, but I believe you see in verse number 20, Mary's patience. We see that Mary, yeah, we know that when Jesus arrived in the town, Martha ran straight out to him. And we know in the later scripture, we'll read that she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But we wonder, where was Mary? Where was Mary at in this passage? But we see in verse number 20, but Mary sat still in the house. Mary was very patient upon the Lord. She knew as long as she could get the master there, it didn't matter how much time had passed. It didn't matter how many days her own brother had been dead. She knew as long as she could get the master there that everything was going to be okay. And we know that she waited patiently upon the Lord. And patience, let me say this, I can speak for myself. Patience is a hard thing, but it sure is rewarding in our life. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but let me tell you, just encourage you, be patient upon the Lord. Be patient. Just wait upon him. His timing is not our timing. We want God to come exactly when we think is best. We want God to come on our time and do things our way. But yet, God wants us to just say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Lord, I don't know when you're going to come. I don't know when you're going to solve that problem for me, but I will be patient and wait upon you. But not only do you see the problem, the procrastination, the pursuit, and the patience, but also let's continue reading. Verse number 21, the Bible says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Also, I want to look at the promise that God made to her. I'm thankful for the promises of God. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5 says that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Philippians 4:19 says he'd supply all our needs. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are just a few promises that God has made in his word. And let me say this, whatever promise God makes to you, he's going to keep it. It may not be, like I said, in our time, but his promises are true and they're faithful. But as it said in that verse, when Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. This was a promise. Martha knew in her heart that yeah, one day he would rise again. But Jesus made a promise to her, and she didn't even realize when that promise was going to come, just in a few short hours. But let me say this. God's made a promise to you that he's going to supply your needs. He's made a promise that he's never going to leave you, that he's never going to forsake you. And let me say this for a sinner, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted that free pardon of sin, God's made a promise to you as well that he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not by works. It's not by giving to the offering. It's not by giving, going to get baptized. But if you call upon the name of the Lord, he said that he saved you. And these promises are true and they're powerful tonight. And I'm thankful for that. But also, let's continue reading. I know I have a lot of scripture, but let's continue reading. In pick it back up in verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that my brother shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. Skip down to verse number 32. The Bible says, then when she was Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And we've heard this a lot of times. And I want to next of all, I want to look at not only her promise, but I want to look at the position that Mary was in. We know that if you go back and read in verse number 21, Martha said the same exact words to the Lord. She said, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. This is the same words that Mary said. But you say, what's different about this? What got Mary's prayer answered and not Martha's? We see that Mary's position was she was humbly kneeling down at the feet of Jesus. Martha was upstanding in the face of God, saying, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lord, if you'd have done this when I wanted you to do it, everything would have worked out. But we see Mary was kneeling humbly at the feet of Jesus, and we see that this showed humility. It took a lot more humility for Mary to kneel herself down and say, Lord, I don't understand why you did it this way, and I don't understand why you're 4 days late, but Lord, I trust you, and Lord, I know what you want and what your will is what's best. And let me say this, the difference in getting a hold of Jesus and getting your prayers answered could be the way you approach him. Are you going to God and you saying, God, I deserve this, God, and I should have had it this way, and God, I've done this, why aren't you doing this for me? Or are you saying, God, even though I don't deserve anything, I sure appreciate it if you'd show me some grace and you'd show me some mercy and you'd show me some of your love and just show that humility to God. Because let me say this, we're not worthy to go to God. God doesn't owe us anything. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to have shoes on our feet and clothes on our back or anything. We all deserve to be in hell, but yet God loved us enough to send his only begotten son to die for you and to die for me. If that had been all he ever did through all eternity, he'd still be holy, and that has still been way more than we ever could deserve. We fail every day, yet when we come before the throne of grace, I was talking to Brother Micah earlier, and he said, therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. That's a promise that we can go to him. We don't have to come down and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that again, and he brings that sin back up. No, he forgot every sin that we ever could have done when he died on the cross, and I'm thankful for that tonight. But let's pick back up in verse number 33. The Bible said, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse number 35, Jesus wept. I also want to look at the passion of Jesus. We see the passion in this verse that Jesus wept. And you say, why would Jesus weep over this? I believe that Jesus was moved by the tears of Mary. When he looked down and seen Mary weeping and seen Mary crying, it touched the heart of Jesus. And the Bible said, as we read earlier, that Jesus loved Lazarus. And no doubt this broke the Lord's heart. But I believe that if I can take it this way, I believe the Lord looked down and he's seen the trust and he's seen the love that Mary had in him. And I believe it brought the tears of Jesus. And I believe that when your tears get to mingling with the Master's tears, that business is going to pick up. Let's turn over to Hebrews, or I'll turn over there for time's sake. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm glad tonight that we have a high priest. We have a God that is felt with the feelings of our infirmities. We don't have to go to him and say, Lord, even though you don't understand what's going on, I need your help. No, he knows exactly what you're facing tonight. Every single one of us have needs and have problems, but he knows, and he's felt with those feelings. Just as Mary came to him and she said, my brother has died. Jesus knew that feeling and Jesus knew that pain that she was going through, and he wept with her, and we see the passion of Jesus. But also let's pick back up verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hast heard me always. But because of thy people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. And when he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin, Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Not only do you see the passion, but I believe in verse 44, we see the power of God. We see that this man had been dead 4 days, and there was no other way that this man could have been resurrected. He couldn't have been healed by a doctor. He couldn't have been prayed over and just came back. No, the only way that this problem could have been solved was by the power of God. And I'm thankful tonight for the power of God. Let me say this, God's power is still as real today as it was back then. He hasn't lost one ounce of power, and he has enough power to fix your situation. He has enough power to fix my situation. There's only power in one name, and that is the name of Jesus tonight. One word can change everything. One word that he speaks in your life can change everything. You may be going through a trial of your life, and he stands up and says peace, and everything calms down. Or you may say one word to him, God, I need to be saved, and he'll save you just like that. When all hope seems lost, Jesus still has all power to change your situation and to turn your mess into a miracle. Let me say this tonight as I get into my closing points. That power tonight is still real, as I said just a minute ago. And God wants to show you his power. God wants to show you his glory, but he's not going to show it to you if you're standing up in his face and you're accusing God and wondering and wanting God to do stuff for you. But when you humbly kneel before him, as Mary did, God's wanting to show you his power, and he's wanting to show you what he can do in your life. But I want to see, lastly, I believe we skip over to chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Lastly, I want to look at the praise of Mary. We see that throughout this whole passage of Scripture that Mary came to him, and her brother had been dead, and now Jesus has raised him from the dead. And Mary could have went on her way. Mary could have just said, thank you, Lord, and just went about her way, which is what a lot of us do as Christians. God does something miraculous for us, and all we can say is, thank you, Lord, and go on about our way. But no, we see in this verse number 3 that Mary took the ointment, which was very costly. I see with this ointment that it was very costly. She gave all that she had. No doubt she had worked a long time for this ointment, but yet it wasn't too costly to her to give to the Lord. And let me say this, God wants all of us. God doesn't want just 90%, or he doesn't want 95%. No, God wants 100% of us. And the only way we're going to be able to get anything accomplished for God is if we give him 100%. As much as God's done for us, all he wants is just for us to give him our life. Is that too much to ask for? Is that God, the same God that kept us out of hell, the same God that gives us blessings day after day after day after day, when we fail in day after day, is that too much to ask for God just to say, all I want is you. All I want is you to just give your best to me the whole time in their life. Yeah, it may have seemed bleak, and it may have seemed like nothing was going right, and it may have seemed like their brother was dead. And I'm sure in those days that they weep and they mourn and they wonder, where's God at? And no doubt we come in here tonight, and there, you may be in that situation. You say, I'm going through the trial of my life. I don't understand it. I don't know why it's happening to me. Why? I thought I was living right. I thought I was doing this. And it may be nothing that you're doing wrong, but let me say this. It could just be to bring God all the honor and the glory to him, and let others see God through you. No doubt, as I was just thinking about this, no doubt when God raised Lazarus and God brought him back to life, and we see that Mary gave him all that. Mary gave him the glory that he needed and the glory that he deserved. No doubt people around him had to see, and that speaks mildly, that speaks wildly for your testimony tonight. How you react to your situation, how you react to that trial that God brings in your life could be what somebody else sees, could be what a sinner sees. When you go to the workplace, when you go to school, young person, and people see the trial that you're facing, they see what you're going through, and they see how you react to it, that could either point them to Christ or it could point in the opposite direction. I'm glad tonight, throughout the whole time of their life, I'm glad there was a miracle in the making in the life of Mary and Martha. Preacher.